This is a CBC podcast.
If you were watching the election special last night, you probably, or listening on CBC Radio 1, you would have heard some familiar voices. Our political panel was tracking the results after covering the campaign all month, and they joined me again this morning. CBC's Adam Hunter had to stand up all night near that giant map and explain things to us about the results as they were coming in, and ooh, it took some time. Murray Mandrick writes a column for the Regina Leader Post, and he joins me with toothpicks in his eyes this morning. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for carrying me.
What stands out to you this morning, having had 60 or 90 minutes of sleep to reflect?
I think, you know, once the results started coming in and the NDP was gaining in Regina and Saskatoon, that showed me that there was a change happening. And Carla Beck said it's time for change. And that message was, I think, heard by voters in the two cities. And we'll wait on some final results here. But the NDP's near a sweep in both cities. And they're knocking off cabinet ministers. They're knocking off names like Bronwyn Eyre. Paul Merriman still, that's not a final, but he's in trouble in Saskatoon. In Regina, Laura Ross, Christine Tell, similar story to Paul Merriman, in more trouble than him as far as the vote count goes. And Scott Moe already lost a handful of cabinet ministers, plus people who had left cabinet and have been there forever, like Gord Wine and Don Morgan. Dustin Duncan's out. Don Hartbauer's out. Don McMorris, Joe Hargrave. And you're going to have to put a lot of rookies into cabinet. And that is a tight, tight legislature now. We're looking at potentially, you know, 33-ish for the Sask party when they elect a speaker, if this NDP can flip Westview, which is 31 votes right now on mail-in ballots. So it's fascinating, Stephanie. And I think it's just it is a signal that there is a change in Saskatchewan.
What stands out to you?
The divide right now in Saskatchewan. And it's not just rural and urban. It's other things too. It's the cultural war divide. It's the divide between public service professionals in education and healthcare versus people, I think, that sincerely wanted a different look of government in terms of taxes, because there was some support for the Sask United Party, not nearly as much as we were talking about for months on end before this. But the whole entire divide is still not just a thing, it is the thing. And I don't know how Scott Moe addresses it, because he's still going to have a few problematic cabinet ministers in his ear, like Jeremy Harrison, like Jeremy Cockerell, who were rewarded with re-election because of their safe rural seats. The message that you lost in urban Saskatchewan was certainly not lost on him. And I did like a lot of things he said last night in his speech, particularly about healthcare and education, because those were the issues. But all that said, is he going to be serious about it when it comes to policies? We've heard him say things before, and then they come out with a change room policy or Bill 137, because there goes another right-wing butterfly fluttering around in circles. And this is what the problem tends to be. I think the difference this time around is you have a huge opposition to keep them in check. And that's going to be effective in the legislature. I'm just not sure a huge NDP city-based opposition, largely professionals that I described earlier, are a cure for the divide. And I don't know how you fix it right now.
Let's talk a little bit more about what we did hear from the leaders last night. The premier said he heard the message from voters. What's the message?
It's a different message than 4 years ago, because 4 years ago he said, I heard the message, but we all think he was referring to the Buffalo Party.
And he shouted them out.
And they finished second in four races in rural Saskatchewan, which were safe, super safe seats from the Saskatchewan Party. They were not a factor last night. As Murray mentioned, the Sask United Party was not a factor last night. The NDP was the second place finisher everywhere, including rural Saskatchewan. Their vote split is still not what the NDP wants. But I think Scott Moe, as Murray said, he couldn't be as rah-rah as he wanted to be. He did that 4 years ago in front of an empty room in COVID. Last night, because it was so late, because we don't have electronic vote tabulators, something the Saskatchewan Party voted against, that's why we're waiting so long for those votes to come in. He had to wait until after midnight to talk to a room in his hometown. And he even said in his speech, well, a lot of people had to go home because they have work and school in the morning. So his moment was sort of robbed at fifth majority because of the timing it took to count the ballots, which wasn't the fault of Election Saskatchewan necessarily. We don't have all of that info, but we could have had quicker results. I think he also, you know, said, hey, Carla Beck, great job. And we don't always get that.
We don't often get that.
And so that stood out to me. And I think he had to shout her out because there was a change movement, as I mentioned, and Regina and Saskatoon. It's going to be really hard for Scott Moe to go into some of those rooms in the cities, as I think it's been over the last few months, as we've heard in some big events where he hasn't got a big ovation that the Sask Party's used to getting. And that played out in the votes.
What did you hear from the leader of the opposition, the much, much bigger opposition, Carla Beck, last night?
She was surprisingly down, which I don't quite get because they had 26 seats and they might get more. And this should be have been a very good night for her. I think they got caught up in their own expectations. The polls were wrong. And I'm tired of saying, oh, well, within 3.5%, they were in close, you know, in terms of
popular vote.
Popular vote and everything else. And that's the only thing. And certainly not close in terms of taking that popular vote and making their silly seat projections. So that's one of the things that I think that Carla Beck kind of got sucked into the polling, the Twitter wars. Like right now, the best thing that could happen is that if Scott Moe didn't pay any attention to Western Standard and if Carla Beck didn't pay any attention to Twitter, because like my goodness, we'd all be better off in hitting that little nice middle ground if we actually saw something like that. I thought that in some ways she's probably better positioned because of whom she is and everything else. I think perhaps last night it reflected how tired she was because she ran a very hard campaign, as did Scott Moe, obviously, because he was the one-man show. And I think that was sort of a bit of a reflection. She might in that sense be better positioned to bridge the divide that's in Saskatchewan. But I think that Scott Moe is probably, if he does the right thing and stops listening to the wrong people, as Adam said, you know, you had your moment taken away because you listen to a minister who has conspiracy theories about vote tabulation. You know, you messed up on Bill 37 because you put your trust in a non-lawyer justice minister who I think got a pretty loud message from those academic lawyers that she's so talked about in such a condescending way. And I think that some of that was translatable. It was less translatable in rural Saskatchewan, where obviously issues like the carbon tax and everything else that the Sask Party government was doing that they liked were more predominant. And they were able to overlook the problems like healthcare and everything and re-vote for this party. Why they kept going on about hospital closures 30 years ago is now evident, because rural Saskatchewan is older and people remember. But there's a changing urban Saskatchewan. And Scott Moe has to adjust to that change. And Carla Beck still has to somehow bridge the fact that rural Saskatchewan kind of has the same issues with the NDP they always had. And maybe there's newer, younger people replacing older people who carry on those same issues. And I don't know how either party necessarily does that. So maybe that's why they both sounded so damn down last night. I have no solutions to them as how they can fix that either.
Thanks very much, you guys, for coming in again this morning.
Yeah, thanks for staying awake for our listeners.
And you'll be back on Friday, and then we'll have had a few more days to digest and hear what others have
I'm
said.
I'm just
going to
sleep here. It's okay.
Just curl up under the table, Murray. I've got a little pillow down there. That's Adam Hunter, a provincial affairs reporter here at CBC Saskatchewan, and Marie Mandrick, who writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post and Saskatoon Star Phoenix.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.